Hey, before we start the show, I just want to thank a new sponsor this week. It's Seed CX. They are an institutional digital asset exchange. What does that mean? I will tell you mid-show. Listen on. Thanks to Seed CX, though. Let's do the show. Hello and welcome to Coin Talk. We are brought to you in partnership with Medium. They got all kinds of great crypto writing there. Medium.com/crypto, I believe. Find all kinds of writing. We're back in 2019. First proper show of the year after a live show. Let's hear the music.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Monday, January 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $3,524.
Jay, hello. We are back in our traditional configuration of speaking to each other over Skype while located approximately a mile and a half away from each other. How are you doing?
It's at least 4 miles.
Yeah, it's true. As the crow flies.
Yeah, it's like 4 miles and maybe 45 minutes to travel. But I take your point that if we were hardier travelers of Brooklyn, then we would be doing this in person. But
Did you think of our live show?
I don't know. I'm a bad judge of these things, but...
wow, that was really hyping the people up.
That's already out, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It was... I think that we tried harder to make it punchy, and it wasn't us just kind of rambling. But I will say that us rambling is kind of what I enjoy about the podcast. And, you know, this is an auteur project, and so I'm not so concerned what the people say, the unwashed masses of crypto.
I think it was a great time. People were very receptive to us. I was surprised how many laughs we got and how enthusiastic the crowd generally was. You had to run, but the Tales from the Crypt set was also very good. So I have to say, a little bit more of a sense of humor than I predicted from the audience. Shouts to them. Shouts to any new listeners we picked up there who are tuning in to their first regularly scheduled Coin Talk. So we were going to do like a Satoshi's literature thing, which we kind of did, although I feel like we got kind of pulled astray. There was one thing in the white paper that we didn't talk about the show because it was kind of a short show that I wanted to bring up to bridge into this episode.
Okay.
So this is a quote from the white paper. And one of the things we talked about the show was sort of, are we imparting the libertarianism onto Satoshi or is it in the text? And he says, with Bitcoin, we can win a major battle in the arms race and gain a new territory of freedom for several years. So Bitcoin is now 10 years old.
Yep.
Why say only for several years? Most of what I hear kicked around in the crypto Twitter sphere these days suggests that Bitcoin is going to last for 1,000 years and become the reserve currency for a new age of man. So what do you think he meant by that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think we are getting a little bit too much into like originalist thinking if we are trying to interpret what he means for a few years. But I think that he thinks what we think, right? Which is that there is not really a form of technology that has become a firmament for everything that hasn't at some point itself been challenged and improved upon and then swapped out. Now, like, you can talk about like original protocol layers on the internet that haven't changed that much. I can say that those, that might be constant, you know, but I wonder if he thought of Bitcoin, which was an improvement, as he cited many times in the white paper, on existing digital coin projects, right? I wonder if he just assumed that there was going to be an improvement on Bitcoin too.
That's how I read it also. I had always thought of Bitcoin but being sort of by definition anti-altcoin because the firmest believers in Bitcoin are the most firm critics of everything else being a shitcoin. But it almost sounds like he, I mean, I guess it's a very loose interpretation to say that the alternative to Bitcoin would be some kind of an altcoin, but he does seem to be suggesting that Bitcoin is the first step in some sort of evolutionary process that will potentially have multiple stages, and that Bitcoin is not the end-all of the project.
But it also, like, and the biggest evidence I would say for that is that the white paper makes it pretty clear that he doesn't really even think that Bitcoin is like, you know, Adam and Eve being birthed out of, I guess Eve was birthed out of Adam, but Adam being like spit out of the mouth of God or whatever happens in Genesis into the Garden of Eden. Like, he cites other projects, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, this is kind of like the thing Wei Dai was talking about, you know? This is kind of like the thing that other people were working on like 5 years ago. And so if he had been a little bit more, I don't know, like, you know, like religious about it, or even like Big Bang-ish about it, and saying, I have burst on upon the world like this great technology and it is perfect. I would think that he would be like, this is it. But he didn't say any of that stuff. And so I don't know how you can really believe that he wasn't thinking that, you know, this thing was going to get improved upon. And, you know, it has been. Like, you know, the Bitcoin that people use right now is not the exact same thing that was put out of the Genesis block, you know?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of something like philosophy or a humanities discipline, which is when you write your grand master treatise, even if your master treatise is, say, Marxism, and it's supposed to take over the world, you don't expect that all thought will just stop then, that you will have been the last philosopher. You expect that you will be seen in some sort of grand historical continuum. And I think maybe, as we said, our themes to look in 2019. If 2018, I believe we said it was the year of the Bitcoin maximalist.
Yeah.
I'm looking very closely at where does Bitcoin fit into the historical continuum? Like, is Bitcoin step one of a grander step? Is Bitcoin the, like, devourer that, like, stops all these other movements? That seems to be the narrative that's the most interesting to me right now.
Yeah, but do you think that narrative has been disproven at this point? I mean, like, think about the crowd of people that we saw, right, at the, which I assume are mostly Bitcoin-related people, but they weren't all maximalists, you know? There were people who worked in different industries who had some skepticism. There were people who worked on different projects. Like, it wasn't, like, if Bitcoin, if you think of Bitcoin as, I think you should, as, like, a social movement, you know, that's something that our friend Joe Wiesenthal brought up, then it doesn't seem like it's possible for this thing to go forward without it being kind of, you know, like having a lot of different factions and a lot of different parts to it. And I just think that the Bitcoin maximalists are the loudest, you know, on social media. And so maybe we even give them an outsized presence.
Let me give you a counter take. So last year, I would say, was the year of the Bitcoin maximalist and the year of the dead ICO. So things like ICOs, and to a lesser extent, all the other projects in crypto, are so new that they're going through rapid half-lives where, like, entire segments of the industry die out in a one-year period. Comparatively, Bitcoin is very old, and its half-lives are massive compared to basically everything else in crypto. So it's possible, in my estimation, that in the entire time that you and I have been following crypto closely, which I'd say is going on 2 years now, there hasn't been a real turnover of Bitcoin. It hasn't experienced that kind of a leap forward or a real change. And so I think we're still sort of waiting to see, like, potentially it's a major crisis. It's a jump forward. It could be a bull run. It could be a lot of things. But I think that, like, Bitcoin is sort of due to, like, shed its skin once again.
I have a hard time believing that. Let's go through those one by one, right? And I don't think you're totally wrong, but I just want, for the purpose of thinking it through, right?
Okay.
So another bull run, I find hard to believe, is going to happen in the next couple of years, or at least the next year, which will then have been like 20 months or something like that, right? And the reason why I think that's significant isn't because, like, I think a bull run has to happen now. I just think that the crypto space will probably change a lot before there's another bull run. and that people will start to lose their faith in Bitcoin, and other projects will come out that are interesting, one of which I think we're going to talk about today, right? And I think that so that I'm not quite sure is going to have some effect. Now, in terms of Bitcoin radically changing, shedding its skin and becoming something new, what's the evidence of that? You know, like, what is the project that's on the horizon or the update that's on the horizon that would change people's conception of Bitcoin? Like, we've already had the Lightning Network. You know, we've had other things that have been significant improvements that people have been waiting upon for a while, and it hasn't really changed adoption at all.
Well, I mean, I don't feel like we can really see it on the horizon. It's sort of like, how is Apple going to make the next iPhone? It's either they will fail or it'll be something that we can't conceive of now.
Sure, I agree with that. But why would that be Bitcoin, and why wouldn't that just be a completely different project?
I think that's a realistic question. But coming off the year of the Bitcoin maximalist, it's also hard to imagine how that's some other project. Certainly none of the other projects are looking like that to me right now, despite some very nice Ethereum price action over the last month or so.
How's that going for you?
I mean, there were some setbacks in recent days, but I would say, you know, as a bounce off the bottom, you can't complain that ETH is trading around 130 right now when it was trading for $80 pretty recently.
That was like a pretty small dip, though, like a short-lived knife down, right? I mean, it's been ranging between like 95 and 150. I guess that is a big range.
It's a huge range. I mean, it's a big range. Yeah. I'm not like, there's nothing to cheer about. It's just a giant gain after a giant loss, and it's still got a long way to go.
After like six giant losses. I guess like just...
We should talk about Ethereum and Constantinople later in the show. We'll get to that.
I guess I was thinking about this space during our live show while I was talking to some guys there who I think they work for a VC fund. And it really did kind of reemphasize, I think, what my general take has been for the past few months, that like, I think that basically there's a lot now that is branding dependent, and you just see that all the time. Like, you know, there's been a 2-year long fight now, I guess, for what gets to be called Bitcoin. And while like people haven't made too much headway in that, you know, like, do people if they suddenly swapped out Bitcoin Cash with Bitcoin tomorrow and didn't tell anyone, like, would you know the difference?
I mean, I think that's sort of an extreme view. I would say that like speaks to the power of Bitcoin, the brand. I mean, if you ask me why,
no, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I think my point is essentially that a lot of what's been floated along is based more on branding, right? Like, it's based on the name and the ideas behind the name. And to revitalize all that, I just think it's a lot easier to have something new come along that's like, hey, all those things that pissed you off about Bitcoin, like, you know, like the energy, regardless of how real or not real they are, you know, like the price manipulation, the energy use, the, you know, the slow transaction fees, like all these things that have been addressed but ad infinitum in crypto, but are still thought of as problems. If something came out and was like, we're the magic bullet, we're it, everything that you wanted about crypto is here, and all the scammy things that you hate that make you turned off are gone, I think that has a much better chance of appearing than, you know, like some brand revitalization for Bitcoin.
I disagree with that. There's a quote from like I think Hal Finney that's like, every day that Bitcoin continues to exist, you can take more faith in the chain and that it will continue into the future and in stability, etc. And I think that the brand Bitcoin is both a like goofy orange logo, and it's this like uninterrupted 10-year chain that hasn't totally shat the bed during that period. So I just think it's very hard. I mean, you can imagine things that are more advanced than Bitcoin. There's things more advanced than Bitcoin a couple years after Bitcoin or 5 years after Bitcoin. It seems to me like there's an accrued biblical power of the canonical text that your newfangled religion a few hundred years later, it doesn't have the old book.
Why would it not have the old book?
Well, the Bible existed for hundreds of years before, and that oldness and that solemnity and the fact that it had endured those 100 years meant something. In crypto years, for Bitcoin to endure for 10 years is a really long time. And I think particularly with the nature of a blockchain and the trust issues associated with it, I think we're going to trust the oldest thing and the thing that has endured more so than something new that solves certain problems with that old thing. That's where I've come to feel about it. I think I started off closer to your viewpoint, and I've probably drank in the Bitcoin Kool-Aid at this point.
Why? Can I ask you why?
Look, Jay, the price is never going to come back up. Like, my bags are never going to come back up unless Bitcoin up. And so I need Bitcoin to come back so that all of my bags can rise. And I just don't see that future without strong Bitcoin. Hey, this is your co-host, Aaron Lammer. I'm going to pause things here briefly to tell you a little bit about our sponsor this week, SeedCX, the truly institutional digital asset exchange. If you're listening to this show, I don't think you're unfamiliar with crypto or the narrative that mainstream adoption will only happen when digital assets are accepted by institutional investors. Those are hedge funds, family offices, banks. So far, these kinds of investors have been sidelined for a variety of reasons, and one of them is a lack of institution-quality exchanges. SeedCX is a new digital asset exchange that aims to change that. So why do people stay away, or why do institutions stay away? Control is one reason. SeedCX allows for strong trade surveillance, monitoring, market alerts, and user-level trading limits. These accurately reflect trading desk structures that people are used to. Another one's regulatory concerns. There's a part of the crypto world that wants no government oversight, and there's places that want to be very compliant with regulatory oversight. SeedCX is on the side of oversight, which is a good thing if you're an institutional investor. And last but not least, flexibility. Institutions want to easily mix derivatives and spot trading for more sophisticated strategies like hedging. Today's exchanges, which are spot or derivatives only, do not allow that. SeedCX is the answer for each of these questions and is jumping the hurdle that stands before institutional adoption. The exchange and its subsidiaries are 100% focused on making digital assets acceptable for institutional investors with better controls, more oversight, and enhanced trading flexibility. So if you are one of those institutional investors, or maybe you advise them, you consult with them, go to www.seedcx.com to learn more about SeedCX. We really appreciate them sponsoring the show. It makes this possible. It makes it possible for us to give it away free to you, the listener. So thank you to SeedCX. Here's the show. I got really into a new protocol this week. Have you heard of Grin?
A little bit, but I think you should just refresh me on it.
Okay, so Grin is based on Mimblewimble, which is sort of a new...
What a sentence. Grin is based on Mimblewimble.
Yeah, I really don't know very much about where the etymology of the Mimblewimble protocol comes from, but it's called Mimblewimble. There's actually two projects that are based on Mimblewimble. One of them is called Beam, and one of them is called Grin. One of the primary differences between them and why I'm more interested in Grin is Grin, unlike many of the projects we've talked about, did not have a pre-mine, did not have an ICO, did not allow certain investors or VCs to buy coins at a discount rate earlier. In fact,
is this an actual crypto project?
And not only that, it actually hasn't launched yet. It launches on January 15th. So the people who've been mining it now, I know some miners who I won't say, I'm not supposed to talk about their operation, but they were interested in it also. So there's a community of people who are mining it on test nets, but those coins are dead. Like, those coins are not part of the actual protocol. Zero people have them, and
so they get like a, they had like a zero incentive beta testing round or something like that.
Basically, yeah. And the whole thing is designed to be high emissions so that people are not as incentivized to hold on to the coins, but are incentivized to spend them and actually use them. And the part of Mimblewimble that's kind of interesting, as per your, what would actually be better than Bitcoin? I mean, this is a project that's aimed very directly at like people using and spending, and kind of getting back to what originally interested us about the whole fake internet money as a product. Grin is kind of along those lines. So the difference between it and Bitcoin as a blockchain is, so like Bitcoin and Ethereum, every single transaction forever is on the chain. And I think that chain in Ethereum is over 1 terabyte now. So remember when we were doing like Augur, we would have to sync this enormous Infura node, and you can't even sync the whole rail chain. You can only like do this weird cached version, and they're getting enormous. And it's a realistic, like, what happens if this gets bigger and bigger, big question. So the way that Mimblewimble works, it does not maintain a full history of all the transactions. It just knows how many coins there are and what their location is right now. So if me and you do a transaction and you send coins to me, your ownership of those coins is erased forever. The coins just know where they are right now. So it's a very small amount of data because it's basically just erasing itself every time they move.
Yeah, I mean, I have not heard a single thing that... Okay, like let's go through our list of things that make us as like 2 year in Bitcoin people who think about Bitcoin roll our eyes, right? Bitcoin moderates. ICOs. If those words are attached, I'm out. Like, I'll never again be interested in any project that had an ICO, right?
Coins now, backed by VCs.
Yes, VC coins where like a bunch of money goes to the coin, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it seems like
I feel kind of dirty about our ZeroX dabbling, Jay. I think we might have to take a shower. I'm not out. I'm still deeply in, but we might have to take showers after for that one.
Okay, I mean, like, I don't want to erase my own history here, so I don't want to like be the purity guy who's like, you know, was so much deeper into ZeroX.
I mean,
than you
I'm
were,
just saying,
and now I'd be like, I'll take that shower.
We warned very early on about Toshi feudalism and Brian Armstrong's Toshi ambitions, and there's a thing where you can watch a video about how ZeroX works and get paid a small amount of ZeroX to watch it.
Yeah. That's depressing. That is also a rolling the eyes. Let's put that on rolling our eyes. Okay, and then like, okay, another thing that makes us roll our eyes are completely impenetrable white papers and use cases that don't make any sense, right?
I'll say that anything that we can't describe to each other makes us roll our eyes. And I would say we just discussed Grin for 1 to 2 minutes there. There's a few things that were kind of interesting about it. Yeah.
No, but I actually understand the project just from, I mean, I'll, you know, just to add a full disclosure, I read like a 200 word article about it before. And then you explained it to me, and now I'm just like, well, I get it. You know, it's not like Initiative Q, where like you talked about it for like 7 minutes, and I was like, I don't understand why this is not a pyramid scheme.
I mean, I think we actually do get Initiative Q. It's a very thinly disguised pyramid scheme. And Beam is basically based on that same Mimblewimble. It only knows where the coins are, not the whole blockchain thing. But there was some sort of a pre-mine, people invested, bought at preferential rates. So it's kind of like the good version and the dirty version. Now, you could tell me that in 6 months, Beam is worth like 20 times more than Grin, and I would be like, yep, that's crypto for you.
Or you could also tell me that like after all this good faith stuff that Grin does, like, they say, like, we're airdropping 7 coins, and I would also.
I think there was
that,
already like a massive leak in the Beam wallet. But the interesting thing, I was, I went on, wow, my voice just broke there. I've been on the Grin forums, And it's interesting because all these people are excited about it, but they're like, hey, how do I buy some Grin? And you can't buy any Grin now. It kind of reminds me of like, remember when certain apps came out and they were like, we're sorry, we can't handle the volume. You'll have to go on this wait list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a little how Grin feels right now, where you're like, yo, give me some Grin. And they're like, you know what? You probably don't even want it. It's like not very speculative. There's going to be high emissions. Just chill out. And you're like, what? Now I really want some.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I want to first note that this is the most excited we've been about a crypto project in maybe a year, right?
Yeah.
But in the fact that we're like kind of scratching our chins and saying, hmm.
Are you about to propose that we become Grin Whales? Because I'm in.
I'm in. No, I'm totally in on Grin Whale. We should call up Doug Kim and ask him.
Like, Doug's priority mining it on the testnet.
Here's the only question I have for you is that, okay, what this feels like to me is that somebody smart, you know, went down a checklist of things that make not only us roll our eyes, but everyone roll their eyes, and then just made something that was the exact opposite of it. Now, I don't know if that thing necessarily, if that's a bad thing, you know, like if they're like no ICO, like they're not going to do an ICO, I presume, you know, and that in effect is good. But I do wonder if like, you know, this is a PR type of thing, because if you and I are going to design a coin that had credibility, we would design this coin.
Yeah.
And then we would sit down and be like, okay, we got to make the coin. And I'd be like, all right, how do you make a coin?
I feel like you're like espousing a bit of the logic where you're like, this guy's so cool. He must be like an industry plant, you know? Like
exactly. Yeah.
Well, no, to further
basically your, my style of journalism, which is like, I don't believe this.
To further your conspiracy, I believe that the founders of Grin or the founding team of Grin were anonymous in the Satoshian tradition, but I think somehow it was revealed who like the main people are now. But they basically, not only are they behind the project, but they're basically doing it for no rewards. Like the only rewards they'll get are if people donate back to the project. I did notice that some of the DEXs that are saying they'll be trading Grin early on are saying that they're going to give the Grin fees back to the Grin team.
Well, so why? Yeah, but okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why are these people doing this then?
Well, so there's a thread that's, is it a good idea to speculate on Grin? And a guy's like, is it? Like the founder said, blah, 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 that it's going to be high emissions and that it's meant for use. And there's like, it's not designed for the price to go up. And then this other guy was like, whatever, I'm fucking loading up my bags, bro. And he was like, I don't really know what this guy's talking about. Like, it is high emissions, but it's like only like four times the emission of Bitcoin. So like, plan accordingly, you know, if it takes off, it's going to be worth something. So I think there is like a little bit of that question of, is this just good marketing there? Insofar as my guess is that the founding team will be heavily involved in the early mining efforts. And if this really takes off in a Bitcoin-y way, everyone's going to win.
Oh, huh. Well,
right? I mean, I don't
disagree with it. Okay. This is real. Like where I just, okay. Do you think for a crypto project to succeed right now, it basically needs to check all these boxes of good faith? Cause I'm just going to go ahead and give my answer, which I think will be obvious, which is yes. I think that you kind of need to get, not me necessarily, but like at least you excited about it because you have some more faith in this stuff than I do. But like, I'm even excited about this. And the only reason I'm excited is because it checks off those good faith boxes now. You know, you and I can do more research into it and see if it's real, but I don't know. I mean,
put it this way. I think you need to dazzle people one way or another. And this is one way to dazzle people. Could you also dazzle people with something that was like weird and centralized and shady, but somehow amazing? Probably. Like the way I feel right now is that there's no room for sort of average crypto projects. Like something needs to feel like truly new and truly like, wow, if this worked, that would be big. And I haven't really found that many things recently that checked off those boxes. And I do think whether it's just good marketing or it's like truly good principles, we both caught on to it very quickly. Like something succeeded.
Yeah. How big of, I don't pay that much attention to crypto Twitter right now because I'm embroiled every day. I've like this, my New Year's resolution was to get into more media Twitter fights, which is might seem to you like a bad resolution, Jay. But I've decided to stick with it. Do you know how many media Twitter fights
we
I'm
don't,
getting in?
We don't actually see each other. The only time we basically talk is in our crypto Telegram channel in here. So I'm going to say it to you here and there. Get off Twitter. For your own health, get off Twitter. You'll be happier.
I'm not even mad about these things, though. Like, you know, like I just, you know, I this is a diversion, but I just realized that the 6 months I was off Twitter, like completely, and I didn't even have an account. Like I did feel like I was, you know, letting things slide that shouldn't slide. And I don't really care because, like, you know, the reason to get off Twitter is that people think it's unhealthy and it makes you mad. But I found that it hasn't made me mad. I've actually kind of enjoyed getting in these fights. And the other reason is that, like, they'll say, oh, well, it'll hurt your career because people will think you're an unhinged asshole. But guess what? People already think that, and I don't care. Like, my career is, like, you know, whatever. It's either fine or it's not fine, but I don't think it hinges on this.
No, I'm not making any of those arguments. I'm just saying, Jay, get off Twitter.
Okay, fair. Fair.
Much in the way I would tell you to get off Fortnite if you were playing Fortnite constantly, which I was for a while, but I have
now
stopped.
That's fair. Aaron, get off Fortnite.
I don't play it anymore because I broke my Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah. It's shocking that the Nintendo Switch that you got on Craigslist out of some guy's basement to save $25 on the cost broke. Mine is just fine. I have a question.
Okay.
The reason why I brought that up was to ask if people on crypto Twitter and in the general crypto space are talking about this project in excited ways.
I think they are, but there's that weird nascent thing when something hasn't actually launched where I feel like it's very hyped up and it could like fall on its face or it could be a big thing. You don't really know. It's a buzz band.
Fair, fair.
But it's about to happen. So it's January 15th. I mean, I have a feeling by the time the show is out, by next week, we should have a more to say about Grant, I think.
How do we line up our assets to become Grin Wealth?
I don't know. I think we got to get on one of these weird like DEXs, like BISC network or something, and get an account there.
Terrifying. Okay.
Jay, your experience with shining up with shady decentralized gambling sites, I'll send you the thing. Get us a thing.
Because
I did the Augur thing, so I think you're due. Unless you want to buy the land in Decentraland, in which case I'm willing to buy the Grin. I feel like I'm more hyped off Grin as the investment, but Decentraland, yeah. All right, well, let's get ourselves some Grin. Come on.
Okay, and I do agree with you that as much as I'd like to play the pure one here, I think I've probably put money into more shady crypto sites than you have, and it might not actually be close. I actually don't think it's close at all. So I'll try and figure it out.
I think there's something very funny about the general crypto phenomenon. If people are like, hey man, this is not for speculation. People are like, so where can I speculate on this?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I just won't say the word speculate, but how do I buy this?
I'm interested in the technology. How do I speculate on it? Okay, Monero.
Oh, wow. Blast from the past.
Well, I mean, in some ways, it's a bittersweet for me to get into Grin because Monero was my first love as a privacy coin. It's been in the news twice since we were last producing shows. First, in the case of being accidentally added to the Fortnite store, although we didn't know at the time that it was accidental, it seemed for a while like Fortnite had added Monero payments, which I would not know how to read. And then also there was a kidnapping in Norway in which the kidnappers have demanded a $10 million Monero ransom.
Oh, $10 million?
Well, so this is the interesting thing about that. Some people are saying there's no way this can actually get paid because that's like 1% of the supply of Monero.
I know. And wouldn't it actually kind of be traceable at that point?
The only way I feel you could launder $10 million in Monero quickly would be adding it to the Fortnite store.
Fair. They're like, this man in Austria seems
you're
to have like
I need to move $10 million of Monero. And you're like, here's this weird suit.
It's yeah, this guy has bought like 15 Thanos skins and like every single Power Ranger skin.
As far as I know, those two things are not actually related to each other. It is weird that they happened adjacently, though. I don't know what to make of the ransom. I mean, my first reaction is to be like weird and defensive and be like, look, man, Monero doesn't kidnap people. People kidnap people. But in a practical way, I don't really understand. Like, if you want to get pay a 10 million Monero ransom, what do you go to like an OTC desk and try and buy $10 million and put it in a wallet?
Well, the buying it wouldn't be the problem because it doesn't matter who bought it, right?
Like, but who's selling $10 million worth of Monero? That's 1% of the supply. That's a whale trading. I mean, I guess some people maybe can set that up for you.
I mean, there's so many privacy coins too, right? Like, why not ask for like 2 million Monero, 2 million Dash, 2 million Verge?
What,
you know,
what
are, 2 million Z cash.
What are these, like, shitcoiner hit kidnappers?
Listen, they have $10 million in Monero. I don't know if one solution is much more crazy than the other, right?
Okay. I mean, I would kind of go the other way, that Monero seems a little, like, fringe to be used in this context. I mean, I can see the privacy things, but it's a kind of a big lift to get a $10 million in Monero together. It's not like Bitcoin.
Why not just ask for it in, like, cash or something like that, you know?
Well,
like,
they're trying to do this without ever, like, being somewhere physically. I mean,
without having to, like, do a pickup?
Yeah. Oh, they don't have to do anything. They could just, you know. I mean, I assume that this is not going to work and they're not going to pay them, though, because I don't think, like, I don't think the police are, like, in the business of helping you arrange $10 million Monero drops. But if this kind of thing was successful, it would be kind of unprecedentedly easy.
How many people do you think right now are speculating on the price of Monero based on a potential $10 million buy?
I don't know. I also don't know how easily you can. I mean, I know Monero does weird ring transactions, but I don't know how easily you can like hide transfers when they account of 1% of the supply like that on the blockchain. I do think.
No, that's what I mean. How do you launder that?
I really don't know. I mean, in the case of like the Mt. Gox hack, that guy basically established an exchange to launder it. Like, that's the only way when you own multiple percentage points of supply that you could possibly, like, trickle them out into the market. But then again, wouldn't you believe that maybe kidnappers do have a contact at some shady exchange that somehow is going to make this whole thing work? It will be interesting to see. The thing with the Fortnite store apparently was just an accident, and it was like the processor also has like a Monero hook. I was just surprised to see the price of Monero did not react really at all to being added to the Fortnite store. I know it was an accident, but you'd at least like to see a bounce there.
It is literally the best news that could possibly happen.
I mean, this is all how we all think that mainstream crypto is going to happen is in some way through gaming, right? That would be both of our bets, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
so if there's any real development in there, you'd expect it to be big.
Yeah, and I don't think we're the only people who think that, and so you would think that there would be, you know, more talk about it. But I don't know. Maybe it's not actually. I've been playing a lot of video games recently, Aaron.
Shocking.
For research purposes,
of course.
No, sort of seriously, but yeah. And I think that we're right, fundamentally, that, you know, everything is going to go through that. However, I think we're maybe far away from open marketplaces where this type of stuff will be useful, you know? Like, I just think there's too much incentive right now for games to have closed economies, and if they're closed economies, they're just going to function off PayPal or whatever, because they have less regulatory problems and it's more reliable. But I think in 3 years, maybe, like, we could start seeing that. Like, I'm not saying it's 10 years away. I just think it's, like, going to be a little bit, especially since most games that are going to be coming out in the next 3 years, you know, the big ones, at least with big economies, they probably started development a long time ago.
Well, my guess, and maybe why Monero doesn't really move the needle in a Fortnite context, is Fortnite and these kind of economies are big enough now that Fortnite is trying to build their own portal where they'll be like a gaming store, right? So I would expect that we won't really see crypto inside gaming until it's like built natively within it. And yeah, you're right. These like giant multiplayer game economies are probably bigger than the crypto economy right now. I mean, not in terms of how much money, but in terms of how many active users are using them on a daily basis. And sure, there's real cause for scarcity. There's real cause for bartering and trade and prizes and all these sorts of drivers of an economy that are way more interesting than all of us just trading coins, like speculating on speculation and doing all this degenerate gambler stuff. I mean, it's still degenerate gambler stuff, but it's like next level, like gamer degenerate gambling stuff.
I still think that the pain point that they have to get over is not the functionality of these economies using cryptocurrency, but the chance that the people who are playing the games will, you know, be willing to use cryptocurrencies, if that makes sense.
I mean, I feel like gamers are sort of resourceful and good at building things themselves. So my guess is that whatever crypto product comes out of gaming will not be used as intended. It'll probably start off as some sort of a weird in-game economy that slowly like bleeds further and further out. But what I'm waiting for and what I feel like gaming can supply is this massive installed user base that's already pouring hours and hours and all of their free income into it. Like, it's a weird thing to ask people to just go out and buy Bitcoin because you're not using Bitcoin. There's something about if, like, your first purchase is to buy, like, a skin or a weapon or something where it's like, mm-hmm, oh, of course I'm going to do that. You know, it's like, all right, well, here's your change, sir. It's $8 game bucks. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm in the economy. Like, without even realizing.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
Even kids can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even kids can take place in these economies.
Yeah. Like all great projects, it starts with scamming 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds.
I went down into a rabbit hole watching these like big YouTuber videos, which I usually, that's not really my world. But it was like a H3H3 production video criticizing Jake Paul and this other YouTuber named Ricegum for doing these videos where they promote these mystery boxes. Have you ever seen these mystery boxes?
Yeah, I actually have. Yeah, this is the second Ricegum conversation I've had like in a week.
Oh, well, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the other one was. Basically, for people who haven't seen it, it's like you pay, I don't know, like 100 or 200 bucks, and it's like you might win like an iPhone, but you also might win nothing. And if you win something, you can trade it in for more mystery boxes. And it's just basically like gambling for kids.
That's terrible and should be illegal. As someone who believes in like legalization of gambling everywhere, like I don't believe that should be illegal. It's the one form of gambling that should be illegal. Is YouTube influencer mystery boxes?
The crazy part is, so they show like Ricegum and Jake Paul doing it, and in the one they show, they win. So it's
Well, of course. Yeah, I mean they have to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I actually bought, to bring this full circle, I actually bought a little Bitcoin this week on the Cash App.
Yeah, I thought you were all in.
I am all in. I have the Cash App. You have to fund it with like $100 to use it. It's like a Apple Pay thing. And so I had $100 and you can just buy Bitcoin on it. And it's kind of like how I've always wanted to buy Bitcoin. It's like, oh, I got $100. I can buy $20 worth of Bitcoin, you know? Bitcoin feels low today. I'll buy $20 worth of Bitcoin. So this week, I've bought $10 or $20 of Bitcoin several times.
What does several mean?
I've probably bought like $50 worth of Bitcoin total this week.
Oh, that's not, yeah. But that's like the, you know, that seems like what, with the people who do like small recurring buys, you know, that seems similar to that.
My portfolio would be infinitely better if I had been buying the same amount in $50 increments spread out over the whole time I've been interested in crypto.
I don't think that's true. because
the period where it was high was very short.
Oh yeah, and that is when you bought most of your Bitcoin.
On like buying the same amount each time, regardless of what the price is. You know.
Yeah, but that yeah, that's true, I guess. But like, it was for a lot of our time at like $6,000-$7,000, right? And then you would have bought some at $20,000.
There was a long period where it was $2,000 to $5,000, though.
I know, but we weren't really in crypto before it got to like 3,000, were we?
All I'm saying is it seems like a better way to get people to buy into Bitcoin, to let people just keep rolling small amounts of money in, particularly in an app like this where it's just like...
Does it have fees?
No, I mean, it's like you don't get a great price. Like today, I think Bitcoin was like $36.70 and it was like $37.20 on it. So you paid like maybe 40 or like a slightly high fee, which yeah, I think you
so
I think
bad.
You do that in Coinbase if you I mean it ends up being
yeah you do it with Coinbase too
yeah, yeah yeah so it's not a great price but whatever you know when you're buying $20 worth it's like whatever
I agree with that you know some people might yell and write into the show and be like you know a percentage is always the same even if it's a dollar but you know what those people aren't us and you know
can find Jay on Twitter he's very interested in hearing from you. He's he came here for it, so check him out.
How's everything else?
Things are good. I have to say I'm cautiously optimistic about crypto in 2019. I feel like we're on the upswing.
Do you have like a it can't get worse mentality, or are you?
No, I'm pretty clear at this point that it could get worse. I think Bitcoin could dip to $2,000, which I think would be significantly worse than where it is now.
Yeah, yeah, that is. 2,000 would be worse. 2,500 would also be worse.
I feel like there's really no point. Maybe like in like shit, like real all like shit coin bags, there's no way it could get worse where it's like, it's down to 1 cent. It could get to half a cent. But with any of these things that have soared higher, I don't know. I feel like it could always get worse.
Yeah, fair.
Where are you at?
I don't know. I'm actually mostly excited about Mimblewimble. And
I mean, if you bought the Kang line, you did well.
Yeah, I bought the Kang line, but then I had a rough go betting the NFL playoffs.
We don't allow your gambling losses onto our crypto ledger. Just because you're That's denominating true. Them in the future world currency reserve Bitcoin doesn't mean that your NFL losses are crypto's fault.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The Bitcoin that I no longer have that I bought at the Kang line, it would be doing well if I still had it.
Did everyone who had a buy win this weekend? They did.
Yeah, they went.
Damn it.
They went 4-0.
I could have sworn I had an idea to bet that way. I could have sworn it.
Yeah, I bet all the underdogs.
Jay, what were you doing?
Some covered, though.
You were betting against the Patriots?
Yeah, because I'm a good person. I'm a good person who believes in good people having good outcomes. Okay,
well, there's a couple of things we'll save for next time. Here are a couple of things I want to talk about next time.
Okay.
I think we're due for a big Ethereum conversation. Constantinople's coming. They've changed the whole mining regime.
Oh, my God.
The difficulty bomb, things are getting changed again over there. And I'm interested in where you think that project's at. And then let's also, I think we got to talk a little TRX and BitTorrent because there's some fairly hilarious shit there.
Okay, cool.
All right, talk to you next week.
Talk to you then.
Later.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Monday, January 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $3,524.
Hey, thanks for listening to Coin Talk. A lot of fun. This is the first episode I've ended in some time where I had so many more things to talk about. I tried to get Jay to tape another show almost immediately afterwards. So we have a lot more coming for you in 2019. Crypto potentially going nowhere, but we're going to stick around and watch it go nowhere. We're brought to you in partnership with Medium. You can find all of our episodes at medium.com/cointalk. That includes full transcripts if you prefer to read the show. If you'd like to get in touch about sponsoring the show, we have sponsors coming up. Send an email, hi@cointalk.show, and I will get right back to you personally. My co-host is Jake Hang. Our editor is James Nicholson. Thanks to him, he's been with us since the start. We really appreciate everyone who helps to make this show possible, especially you, the listener. See you next week.